that it is so easy for us to tell ourselves, I'm failing at this, or I'm the only one that doesn't know how to balance work and home. When you can step away and see the big picture, it's not just me. That community of women has been really supportive and has kind of become probably one of my favorite parts of social media right now, just that space to share.
Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. Today's episode features part one of my interview with Captain Melissa Civils, and it's just in time for Mother's Day as we discuss being a woman in full-time ministry while juggling motherhood, both the victories and the challenges, and how we need community. We need women to come alongside and do life with us, to share in those victories and challenges. I hope you enjoy part one of this episode. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm so glad that you are here with us today. And we appreciate, I know, the life of a full-time working mom. And we just really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. We have a lot of things we want to cover and really get to the meat of what we're talking about. But why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us where you're from? Tell us about your family. Go ahead and brag on your family right here.
Yeah. Well, my name is Captain Melissa Civils, and my husband Kenyon and I, we have been in Fort Wayne, Indiana for a little less than a year now. We moved here in July after we had served together for 7 years in the Western Division, which will always hold a really special place in our hearts. That's where both of our girls were born. So that'll always be, you know, just a little bit of a warm fuzzy for us as we think back on that time. But yeah, we moved here in July, and we've just kind of been trying to get our feet under us and get adjusted.
Yeah, moving in July of 2020, which is right smack in the middle of the pandemic.
Yes.
That could not have been very easy to do.
No, it was very interesting. We were blessed. We have actually our youngest daughter, Eden, who just turned one in February. Her godmother had offered, we were just kind of talking to her about it, and she said, would it be helpful if I flew out and helped you guys move?
If I
drove in the van with you, or drove the moving truck. And we're like, yes. So that was a huge blessing to us while we did that.
That's awesome. Now, is Eden's godmother, is she associated with the Salvation Army? Is she?
No, that's kind of a cool story. We met her while we lived in our first appointment in Watertown. Her and her husband were also pastors at another church, a Foursquare church in town. And so if anybody knows my husband, they know he's actually, he just took a Myers-Briggs and was literally like as far as you can go on the extrovert scale.
Funny. I love that.
Yeah. So him and Steven connected right away, and then we got to know their family, and they're just kind of people that we've stayed in touch with since then. So it's been a really cool thing.
That's awesome. We're going to talk more, a little bit more about your ministry and your appointment, but I want to say a side note, Melissa, I have known you since you were a baby.
Yes.
I remember your parents were stationed. They were the youth secretaries in the Heartland Division. That's where I went to camp when I was a young person. I went to the old Green Valley camp in Peoria, Illinois, which I know they have a different camp now, but I remember just loving your mom and dad. And I feel like I have been connected with your family for a long time, but you and I, we don't really know each other very well as adults. Sure. We've never had a chance to work together or get to know one another, but it's nice to finally like connect with you here now that you're all grown up and you're a mom and you have a beautiful family and a beautiful life. So Well, I'm interested to know about your personal testimony and your calling to full-time ministry in the Salvation Army. So would you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, like you mentioned, my parents are officers. And so I grew up in a Salvation Army, and actually both sets of my grandparents are officers as well. And so I kind of always joke with people, our family is not a big one in the Salvation Army, but there are people who a lot of people know us, mm-hmm. so it's hard to kind of escape from that, even when I've wanted to, not that I've wanted to a whole lot.
Yeah.
But so I think, like a lot of officers' kids, I kind of rebelled against that idea for a long time of becoming an officer. I didn't want to just follow in my parents' footsteps, my grandparents' footsteps, because I thought that's what I should be doing. And in high school, I really felt drawn to some kind of, I knew I wanted to do youth ministry mm-hmm. in some way. I knew I wanted to do some kind of like counseling or teaching. And so I spent a lot of time just kind of exploring my options and trying to figure that out. And I had thought about officership a little bit and gone back and forth. And finally, I worked on a camp staff in the Heartland Division, actually, ironically. And it was kind of that summer that the Lord really confirmed my calling. And I remember it was at a commissioning. I went up to pray. And Commissioner Sue Swanson at the time was kind of a mentor to me. And so she came and prayed with me. We were praying, and I don't even remember what we were praying about, but at the end of her prayer, she said, "I just want you to know that the Lord told me to tell you that you're going to make a really great officer one
day." Oh my goodness.
And I hadn't told anybody. So of course that I just start bawling and mm-hmm. she starts crying and yeah. So kind of from there is when I decided, you know, this was it.
Yeah.
So.
I love hearing stories like that because thank goodness for summer camp.
Yes.
Youth councils, for even those moments where we all have a chance to come together and hear godly speakers and people who speak truth into our lives outside of our own family. Like you were just saying, like growing up in the Salvation Army, it was pounded into us that, you know, this is what we do. This is our life. A lot of times we buck against that because, no, I want to make my own path. But when we hear people outside of our family speaking into us, you said like Commissioner Sue Swanson, it helps us along our faith walk to make our faith our own.
Sure.
I really hope that this pandemic ends soon so that we can start actually having those summer camps and youth councils again. I want my own kids to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So you're in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's your current appointment with your husband, Kenyon. And I know God has gifted you in many ways. How do you feel God has gifted you for this current appointment that you're in right now?
So I think a couple of the ways, our first two appointments that we had, I really had time for the Lord to kind of refine and hone in my gifts of kind of putting together, planning and executing. We did a lot of outreaches, a lot of community events. And so just kind of getting my feet under me in those ways and those skill sets are probably some of the areas that I feel most skilled and gifted. And it's been interesting coming to Fort Wayne, as we mentioned, in the middle of a pandemic has been really interesting.
Yeah.
And we have a very, very gifted, energetic, creative staff here that does a lot of the community stuff, which is so great. But I told Kenyon when we got here, it's like, I don't know, like everything is just so strange right now. And we have these staff that are so gifted that I don't, you know, I'm not sure where I fit. But as we've been just praying and planning, the Lord has been speaking to us about trying to do some stuff this summer, some outdoor outreach, and to get out of the mindset of people having to come to us, or come into our buildings. I think even before the pandemic, that was something that the Lord was really speaking to us that so often, and not just the Salvation Army, but the church, we kind of get into this mindset of, you know, we need to draw people in instead of we need to go out.
Right.
So that's something that we're working on right now. And I feel like the Lord has kind of prepared me for our last couple appointments. That was something that we did a lot in Mason City, where we just came from community outreach. And we're going to be working with some folks from our DHQ this week, and we've talked to some of our core folks, and it's really exciting. It's a little bit intimidating because there's such a blank slate of, you know, possibilities, but I think that's been a lot of what he's kind of been leading me up to, and I think that'll be a lot of what I can focus on here, which is nice. It's nice to have those resources. I know one of the struggles of officership is a lot of times people can feel bogged down by some of the executive stuff or the administrative stuff. And it's really exciting to be able to focus on some of that pastoral ministry and to look at that in the future.
Yeah, that's great. I love what you said about focusing on going out to the people instead of just drawing them in, which is important too.
Right.
But that's the grassroots of our Army is
right.
going to the community. I mean, William Booth went out into the streets.
Right.
That's where he felt like he could be of the most use is
right.
getting into the community. So that's awesome. We need to do more of that. The church exists not just within our four walls. It's out there.
Yeah.
So what are your joys in what you do?
So one of probably my biggest joys in ministry, I kind of mentioned this as part of my calling as well, has been the youth ministry that we've been blessed to have. That's one of the things that we're hoping to build up here as well. In both of our core, we've had a good, healthy youth group. And especially a good amount of junior high and high schoolers. But I think one of the reasons why I have a heart for teenagers is just being able to look back at my own life and see the people, whether they were officers or soldiers at Corps or employees on the camp staffs that I worked on, just the people who really believed in me and saw my potential as a teenager. And spoke into my life, as you were mentioning, outside of my family. You know, those people are still really impactful to me to this day. So just the gift of being able to kind of pay that forward and keep that going has been really, really meaningful to me. And again, I can look back at those teenagers that I've been able to minister to and just see the way that they're growing, but those will always probably be some of my most fond memories is being able to, you know, the youth councils that we were able to go to together and just really seeing them, you know, soak in what they're being taught or camp or whatever it might be. Those will always be some of my favorite moments.
In all of that, who has been the biggest influence on your life?
Sure. Oh gosh, that's a hard question.
So many, I'm sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So obviously my family has been a big impact on me. I think probably, definitely my parents, but even my mom's dad, my grandpa Lewis, is probably one of my favorite examples of Christ-likeness that I have in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I remember at training college learning about holiness and what holiness looks like lived out. And I think we're kind of challenged to think of examples in our lives, and my grandpa is always one that comes to mind right away. So I think if I can be, you know, even a fraction of that kind of officer.
Yeah.
And then I kind of mentioned this, but my family actually lived in Omaha for a couple of years. My parents were the DCs there when I was in high school. And when we moved, my parents let me be the one to decide what corps in Omaha we were going to go to, because they knew that they would be traveling quite a bit and I would be the one that was going to kind of be there.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose to go. At that time, it wasn't the Croc Center yet, but they were working on transitioning it into the Croc Center, the Omaha South Corps.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, John and Johanna Pook were there. And then shortly after them, David and Shana Martinez came. And I just consider myself so blessed to have been under both of their ministries back like that. And they, all four of them really just poured into me so much and really saw my potential for leadership and invested in me as a teen in a way that was really, really impactful. So again, they are an example to me of, you know, that even the obnoxious, crazy middle schoolers who are wild and hormonal and dramatic,
yeah.
You know, like they can lead and they can be a part of things and they can step up.
Sure. So. Yeah. So you are a full-time working mom, full-time pastor, full-time wife at that as well. That is can take a toll on you. Anyone listening out there who knows, just being a mom itself is a full-time job alone. Adding a job onto that, adding other people within your pastoral ministry, that is a full-time job as well. I mean, you wear so many different hats. Self-care is so important, and it's such a buzzword. I know we throw it around a lot, but what does that mean to you? What does self-care mean to you? How do you take care of yourself?
You know, so much of what you're saying, actually, as I was preparing, I found a study that I think Welch's did, and they found that motherhood would be the equivalent of actually like 2.5 full-time jobs.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about.
Right.
And they based that on most moms, whoever they polled, start their day at 6:30 and the end of the day is 8:30 every day. And so in the season that we're in, we're fortunate most days our girls get up a little bit later than that and they go to bed a little bit earlier. But we're also in a season, my girls are 3 and 1. And when we're home with them, you're not doing anything else other than being mom and dad.
Right.
You know, they can kind of feed themselves, but not really. And they kind of know how to play, but there's always, you know, Trinity's pushing her sister down or something happens and, you know, we have to intervene. So even with our oldest, Trinity is usually in bed by about 7:30. But then you're thinking about there's still other things that have to get done, right? So you're doing dishes or meal planning or catching up on things that you missed during the day at work.
Yep.
And so I think that was one of the things that was definitely surprising to me, just how nonstop being a full-time working parent can be.
Oh, yeah.
And it was crazy. And I think it was really interesting to me as a mom, after we had Trinity, just how much freedom that my husband still had at the moment. For both of our girls, I nursed them. And so I had to be nearby when they were itty bitty and needed to eat. And he could kind of go and, you know, go to the office or go run errands or go do whatever. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm just stuck at home with this baby that I don't know what to do with.
It can be so isolating.
Yes, yes. I was surprised how isolated I felt. I think especially because I had a pretty good support system around us. But even then, you know, that was the year that Trinity was born. It wasn't COVID, but it was a really bad flu season. And so we were trying to be really cautious about who we were letting come and help and all of those things. And I learned really quick how important self-care was, mm-hmm. just that balance of also not letting myself feel guilt about that.
Right.
I think there's so much, and I know this is kind of a term that gets thrown around a lot too, but there's so much mom guilt about so many things as a working parent or stay-at-home parent or no matter what,
yep.
you know? So one of the ways that I really noticed that need for self-care coming out in me was just the amount of guilt and anxiety that I was starting to feel as a working parent, as a Salvation Army officer. I know I remember there was just one night that I said to my husband, like, I feel like I'm just failing everybody. Like, I feel like I'm failing you.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not, you know, I'm failing Trinity. I'm failing the Corps. Like, I feel like DHQ is disappointed in me and just all these things. And my husband, who is very measured, which is good, just kind of said to me, you know, what makes you say that? Like, what makes you think that you're failing? And I was just kind of sharing with him how I felt pulled in all these different directions. And I wasn't doing anything well. I was just doing everything okay in my mind. And he just had to say to me, like, nobody else sees it like that.
Right.
Nobody else has that perception of you, whether it's the core DHQ or the baby or me or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he just really encouraged me to reach out to some of my friends who are in similar spots and to say, like, hey, I'm really struggling in this area. Is this a way that you struggled too? And so I did that. I reached out to about half a dozen of my friends who were officer moms as well. And just said, I'm really struggling trying to find a balance. And I know that I'm being really hard on myself in this season of life. And I asked, you know, would you be interested, even if it's just the 10 of us, if I started a group on Facebook for officer moms of young kids? And all of them, I think, responded yes. Just yes, please. Yeah, please start that group. It was interesting because there were some other groups on Facebook already for officer moms. And there was nothing wrong with those groups. But I think the preschool age, like 0 to 5, is such a unique time. And the things that you're going through are so specific. And so I started that group. And it started with just about 10 or 12, maybe 20 of us. And it just went crazy. I think I was looking last night and we have close to about 200 women in the group right now.
That's fantastic.
And it's just been a really cool thing. You know, officer moms from the 4 different territories in North America. And then we have a couple who are from Canada as well. It's really just become this place where we can share those moments where we feel like, you know, am I doing anything well? And other women can come alongside and say kind of what my husband said to me, like, yes, you are. You know, you just need to get out of your head
right
in this moment. And sharing prayer requests or, you know, baby pictures or what do you do when your kid is going through this situation or whatever it might be, just to offer a safe sounding board for people. And I think for me, that community has really been maybe one of the most important parts of self-care as a working mom that I found, because it is so easy for us to tell ourselves, you know, I'm failing at this,
right,
or I'm the only one that doesn't know how to balance work and home, or, you know, my kid is the only one who won't eat anything I make, that, you know, and it might be the most ridiculous thing, that when you can step away and see the big picture, like, oh, obviously this is just how 3-year-olds are. It's
right.
Not just that I'm a bad mom or my kid is crazy. Like, all 3-year-olds are crazy.
Exactly.
It's not just me.
Yeah.
And so I think sometimes as a mom and as women too, we get so afraid that people are going to judge us.
Yeah.
Or that people are going to be unkind in their words, but it's been that community of women has been really supportive and has kind of become probably one of my favorite parts of social media right now, just that space to share.
Speaking of this, mothers of preschoolers, AKA MOPS, that we all love and know, the MOPS organization. The Salvation Army has started a new partnership with them. And I just want to take just a second here and promote that, since we're on that topic. Recently, we met with MOPS and we started this partnership where moms of the Salvation Army can join MOPS for a special rate. And so we have already established that. Did you sign up for it? Were you already a part of MOPS?
Yeah, so I was actually already a part of MOPS, but I'm really excited for that for next year when we start back up. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a brand new thing that we just started. If you're a mom with the Salvation Army, you can go to our website and find out more information about that, which I'll share at the end of this podcast. But it's really a great organization. It's been around since the 60s, I think. And it was established by two moms with preschoolers who needed exactly what you just were mentioning. They needed an outlet, a safe place to share their experiences and share with moms, just to know I'm not going crazy. And we all have been there. I don't know of one mom who hasn't had some kind of same experience of feeling guilty or second guessing yourself, or feeling like you're under the microscope. Like, everyone is looking at you and judging what you're doing based on XYZ or whatever. Sure. So I love that you took that initiative and started that group. I think it's amazing you have so many members. It's just a really neat ministry in itself, that yeah. alone right there. Yeah. This concludes part one of my interview with Captain Melissa Civils. To find out more about our MOPS and the Salvation Army partnership, you can go to our website, uscwomensministries.com. Right on our homepage, there's a link to find out more information about this wonderful new partnership we have with MOPS. Stay tuned for part two of this episode that will be posted later this month, where Melissa and I discuss some relevant topics, including social justice. In the meantime, I hope this podcast has left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow. See you soon for part two. The Prepare Podcast is a production of the Salvation Army Central Territory Women's Ministries Department. To find out more about who we are, you can go to our website, uscwomensministries.com. God bless you today.